Well, tonight's chapter is on the creation story. And when I first heard that it was on the creation story, before I even knew that I was going to be doing this, I just looked down the list and I saw creation story. And my first reaction was, boy, that would be really tough, you know, to talk about for a whole 45 minutes. And then when Frank asked me if I would do it, I thought, holy cow, you know? And but it's been an interesting experience for me, an interesting time for preparation. So I hope everybody here leaves knowing more and understanding more than they have come in with. So the first thing I'd like to do is just have three readings to kind of set the tone. The first reading is going to be kind of a modern day poem called The Dancer. And it's just what it is. So would you mind, name tags aren't on and I'm just not good at them. Fine. Okay, thank you. Nice and loud.
A reading from the Book of Psalms. Oh Lord,
no,
my
no,
God.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to talk. I meant, who has the dancer? Sorry. Sorry. Off to a good start here. Okay. You don't have to dance, though, while you're reciting.
The dancer. God is the dancer. His creation is the dance. The dance is different from the dancer, and yet it has no existence apart from him. The moment the dancer stops, the dance ceases to exist. Be silent and look at the dancer. Just look, star, flower, fading leaf. Hopefully, it won't be long before you see the dancer himself.
Thank you. And now, Mike will read a song.
A reading from the Book of Psalms. O Lord my God, how great you are. You are clothed with majesty and glory. You cover yourself with light. You have spread out the heavens like a tent and built your home on the waters above. From the sky you send rain on the hills, and the earth is filled with your blessings. Lord, you have made so many things. How wisely you made them all. The earth is filled with your creatures. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. And now, finally, Allison. Right? Allison's going to read an excerpt from the Book of Genesis, and this is the actual, or one of the actual creation stories.
In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and in total darkness. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. God was pleased and separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. Evening passed and morning came, the first day. Then God commanded, "Let there be a dome." So God made a dome, and it separated the water under it from the water above it. God named the dome sky. Evening passed and morning came, the second day. Then God commanded, "Let the water below the sky be separated from the land," and it was done. God named the land earth. And the water to sea. And God was pleased. Evening passed, and morning came, the third day. Then God commanded, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate day from night." And it was done. And God was pleased. Evening passed, and morning came, the fourth day. Then God commanded, "Let the water be filled with living beings, and let the air be filled with birds." So God created creatures that live in the water, all kinds of birds, and God was pleased. Evening passed, and morning came, the fifth day. Then God said, "And now we will make human beings. They will resemble us." And it was done. God was very pleased. Evening passed, and morning came, the sixth day. And so the whole universe was completed. God blessed the seventh day and set it apart as a special day. One,
thank you. Now what I'd like to do, just kind of get us warmed up, it looks like we could actually break into three groups maybe. We could have this group. group here, and then maybe one person could go into this table, so we have that table and this table. And just for a few minutes, if we could just talk about, among yourselves, your reaction to the biblical story that God created the earth in 7 days. In other words, what do you feel, what do you think when you read that creation story? Just kind of talk about it, just for maybe 5 minutes at the most. How does that story grab you? That's excellent. What I kind of gleaning from what I was overhearing, lots of different ways of looking at this story. For me, I will just admit that it's not a, the creation story is not something I've spent a lot of time poring over. Okay, I know God created the world, and this was sort of like an ancient way of expressing it, and that's as far as I ever thought about it. But in my preparation, I was forced to look more deeply. So first of all, we'll just look at the two different ways of reading, not just this story, but all of Scripture. We have two groups or two ways of looking at Scripture. The approach is called the textual or literal approach. Literalists read the text. They read word for word, and they interpret it word for word from what it says. So if it says God made the world in 7 days, a literalist will interpret that as 24-hour days, seven of them. The snake spoke, okay? And so on and so forth. You understand what I'm saying. There are denominations today that do read Scripture that way. One of the references in the preparation material referred to the Church of God as one of those denominations, strictly literalists. Some of you may have come from traditions like that. The Catholic Church does not interpret Scripture that way. The Catholic Church does not interpret Scripture literally. The Catholic Church falls more within the grouping called, that would be referred to as contextualist. Now, a contextualist looks at the context. Certainly, as Catholics, we read the words, we understand what they say, but we also look at the context. We have to look at the social setting, we look at the literary form of the writing, we look at the larger picture. Now, someday, when we're finished with this whole series, if Frank wants to lead us in a study of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we can get more deeply into the magnificent writing in here about the interpretation of Scripture. But just for tonight, I'd like Frank to just read a very short excerpt from a section that's entitled The Holy Spirit, Interpreter of Scripture. And he's just going to read a few sentences that give us a flavor of the direction that the Church takes when reading Scripture.
In sacred Scripture, God speaks to man in a human way. To interpret Scripture correctly, the reader must be attentive to what the human authors truly want to affirm and to what God wanted to reveal to us by their words. In order to discover the sacred author's intention, the reader must take into account the conditions of their time, the culture, the literary genres, and the use of the time, and the modes of feeling, speaking, and narrating then current.
Okay. So, as Catholics, we are taught to read Scripture in what I would call a more rounded way. Okay. And it refers to the sacred author's intention. Now, who is the sacred author of all Scripture? The Holy Spirit. So, what does the Holy Spirit want to teach us, whether we're reading this at first blush kind of childlike story, or whether we're reading some extremely theologically dense sections of John's Gospel? It's the same author. Okay? In the introduction to the book of Genesis in this New American Bible, it says, to make truths, and it's about the book of Genesis, the introduction reads, "To make truths contained in these chapters intelligible to the Israelite people destined to preserve them, they needed to be expressed, the teaching or the message needed to be expressed through elements prevailing among the people at that time. For this reason, the truths themselves must therefore be clearly distinguished from their literary garb." I love that. Okay? So you have the literary garb, in other words, the imagery, the vehicle that the truth is being conveyed in. And then you have the truth, the message. What is the Holy Spirit trying to convey? So looking at this reading now that was Allison read, the first creation story, first of all, we have to look at it. If we're going to be contextualists, we have to look at what was the world like for the people who were reading this, or not reading because they weren't reading, the people who were listening to this story. Okay? We're going back to Abraham's day. We're going back to a very early time in history. I don't want to jump ahead. Make sure I've covered all those points. Okay. First, we'll look at the form of this story. It's written in what is described as a poetic form. Poetic form, it's simple, there's repetition, it's easy to memorize, and it's enjoyable to hear. Because remember, the people are listening, they are not reading it. So if the Holy Spirit uses me to create a story, to teach you some earth-shaking new concept, and I want you to remember it so that you can repeat it to someone else, it's got to have a good, a good sound to the ear. It's got to be understandable, but not, I don't mean simplistic. So as we unpack the scripture reading, each one of the days, the form of the Genesis story, can be broken down into a poetic form of four steps, shall we say. The first one is a command, then there's execution, then there's reaction, and then there's conclusion. Now this is just to kind of make it so exciting. I mean, this is not something that needs to be memorized on your part, but it just shows how clever the Holy Spirit is to get to me. So first of all, the command in the very beginning. Let there be light. There's a command. Execution. Light appeared. Let there be light. Light appeared. What was the reaction? God was pleased. And what was the conclusion? Evening followed. Very basic, very simple. Command, execution, reaction, conclusion. That little four-step process it repeats itself each day. God made a command. It was executed. He reacted by saying it's good. And then the day ended. Now using that structure, the poet, inspired by the Holy Spirit, created a neat little story that could be easily conveyed orally, memorized, and passed on. And I suspect in its original language, it had a nice sound to it. But since we are Catholics, we are not just going to look at the form. We must also look at the message. What did the Holy Spirit want to convey to the people? What was the Spirit's intent in writing this story of creation? It wasn't just to make up a nice story. Okay. Again, what was it like in those days? The concept of monotheism was a completely new idea. People in those days, these ancient people, prehistoric societies, believed in many different gods. They were polytheistic. Well, if you study this message that the Holy Spirit was giving, the very first and most earth-shattering, I think, piece of information that the Holy Spirit wanted to get through, that God wanted to get through to the people, was there's only one God. Okay? How did the Holy Spirit do it? In the form that it was written. Now, if someone could find Deuteronomy, 4th chapter, verse 15, and then whoever would like to read it, this gives you an idea of what it was like in those days. It gives you an idea of what the Holy Spirit was up against, so to speak. So it's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15 through 19. Whoever reads it just nice and loud, please. Okay, Mike?
You saw no form at all on the day the Lord spoke to you in Horeb from the midst of the fire. You strictly...
Is that Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, read it.
Be strictly on your guard, therefore, not to degrade yourself by fashioning an idol to represent any figure, whether it be in the form of a man or of a woman. Any animal on the earth or any bird that flies in the sky, of anything that crawls on the ground or of any fish in the waters under the earth. And when you look up to the heavens and behold the sun or the moon or any star among the heavenly hosts, do not be led astray in adoring them and serving them. These the Lord your God has let fall to the lot of all other nations under the heavens.
Okay, great. It was just a little different translation than what I have here, so that's fine. So, don't be tempted to make idols of little statues of men and women and animals and birds and make them little gods. Don't be tempted to worship the sun and the moon and the stars. That is what the society was doing at the time. That was the status quo. That's how it was. Now you have this extraordinary idea that there is only one God. And how did the Holy Spirit convey it so simply in this Genesis story? He said, God created everything. Created in the Genesis story. God created the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, and all those things. If God created them, they can't be gods. So it was very basic logic that was being used. Now, to us, it's like a no-brainer, you know? We thought, wow. But to those people, this was a knock-your-socks-off, challenging, shake-your-world idea. The old teaching, there are many gods. The new teaching, there's only one God. How did the Holy Spirit convey it in the Genesis story? The one God created everything. Okay? So that is one of the most important, one of their four, according to the written research here, four major teachings of the Genesis story that the Holy Spirit was introducing. Remember, God was introducing himself to people. He was going to reach out to Abraham. So this is how early we're going. So Abraham was living in a world where, you know, everyone was worshiping all kinds of gods. And the God, the one God presented in this story, reaches out to Abraham and says, I am who I am, you know? So it was quite a revelation. Now another truth that is being conveyed by the Holy Spirit in the creation story is that God planned creation. The world at that time saw creation, saw the world around them as kind of a chance. Things happened by chance. Okay? There were lots of different gods, and who knows why things happened, and when this god did this, and this god did that, and there was sort of a very random random mentality, shall we say, in the creation. Well, this new idea that no, it's not random. It wasn't random. First of all, there's only one God. And that God planned creation. Now, how did the Holy Spirit convey that? He conveyed it by having the creation story unfold in a very orderly way. Certain things happened. God decided he wanted this to happen. It happened, and then he reacted to it. There was order. There was forethought, shall we say, by the Creator. And that, to us, of course, but try to put yourself in the place of those people. This was a very different way of looking at the creation of the world. So the old teaching, creation happened by chance. The new teaching, God planned creation. And how was that taught in the Genesis story? Each day was created, or all of creation unfolded in an orderly process. Okay. A third truth that was introduced in the Genesis story is that everything God created was good. Now, at that time, that wasn't, general idea, the general consensus, shall we say. There was a sense, according to the research, that for one thing, some of creation was considered intrinsically evil. The body was considered, the flesh was considered, I'll use the word evil, not good, because there was this, people observed a tension, a conflict between what their spirit wanted, we'll say, or what their psyche wanted, and what their flesh wanted. Okay? No, I don't want to do that bad, that lustful thing, but boy, my flesh wants to do it. So there's that, that. So the flesh was considered intrinsically evil. Well, according to Genesis' story, no. Everything God created was intrinsically good. And how do we know it? Because God said so. So the old teaching, creation was only partially good. New teaching, creation is totally good. How was that taught? God affirms creation's goodness. And then the fourth truth that was conveyed in the story of Genesis, is that the Sabbath day is holy. Now, until the Holy Spirit communicated that idea to the people, there was no holy Sabbath day. It was introduced through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, through that story. So that was another very, very new concept for people. That there would be a day to devote to worshiping Lord. So the old teaching, the Sabbath is like any other day. It was seventh day. The new teaching, the Sabbath is holy. How was it taught? Because God blessed the Sabbath. So when we look at these, when we look at that story this way, or at least when I look at it this way, it's much more interesting. I see what the impact it had on the people at that time. This was more than just a sweet little ditty. This was a very challenging story with challenging teachings. Now, we all know that there are two creation stories. Frankly, the one that is probably most popular is the second creation story, because that's the one where there's the Garden of Eden. And that's the one where, the snake tempts Adam and Eve and all that. That story, it's not a problem for a contextualist. It's not a problem that there are two conflicting creation stories. Now, why do I say conflicting? I say that because in the first Genesis, the first creation story, humans, man, is created at the end of creation. In the second one, first, he's created early. He's created in the beginning. So a literalist could have some real problems with that. How do they... I'm glad I'm not... I don't have to deal with that. But what is the Holy Spirit conveying in that second creation story? Well, one of the very beautiful images is when it says, the Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and so man became a living creature. How intimate is that? That is really hands-on. Now, what does that convey to us? The Holy Spirit is telling, teaching the people at that time and us how intimately God wants to be involved with us. That our Creator got down and dirty, you know, and actually with his own hands created humanity. Now, a literalist looks at that, but what we see is the intimacy. The fact that it's at the beginning or the end, the fact that, you know, did God really, it's not important. That was the text that the Holy Spirit used. That was the form that the Holy Spirit uses to convey the message of the intimacy God had and wants to have with his creation. And a second very different concept is conveyed in the text where it talks about man or woman being made, you know, taken from the side of Adam, and that whole creation of woman, and that God made them in his image and likeness. So, where it says God created man in his image, in the divine image he created him, male and female, he created them. What is the Holy Spirit telling us there? He's introducing a very, very astonishing concept to the ancient people that there is a dignity for the feminine gender that is equal to the male, that both created in the image of God. You see, both side by side. And that was something that was very, not the norm. So that those were two teachings, two concepts, intimacy between the sexes, and equal dignity in the eyes of God, and intimacy between God and people. Two very, very new teachings for ancient people. And they continue to be today. So, when I finished doing this research and this bit of study, I look at the Genesis story in a completely different way. I can read it now and really understand how challenging it was at the time in the ancient world. We talk about Jesus coming and turning everything upside down, you know, and challenging the status quo. Well, the Holy Spirit's been challenging the status quo from the beginning. And that's something that I guess I've used the word learned by doing this preparation. So, the Catholic Church looks at Scripture contextually. We read the text, but we want to see what the form is telling us The text is the form, but what is the message? What is the information? What's the Holy Spirit trying to teach us? That's what we're really after. We look at it in the broader picture of the social situation, the culture, and the literary form. Is it a poem? Is it historical? And there may be a class all on scripture somewhere down the line. I don't know. But if you want to really delve into it, there's a lot in the catechism that's very beautiful. But then we also talk, this is a very timely topic, because every once in a while, you know, we'll hear about lawsuits, school systems that want to teach creationism in the schools, or they want to teach, certain people don't want evolution taught. Well, I thought, well, maybe I'll do a little research on that. Well, when I started doing research on that, it was like, no, that would take a whole another lifetime. But I will say that it's obvious. Anything that would talk about creation happening other than God being the source is not acceptable to believe as a Catholic. We have to believe that God is the creator. Okay, that's pretty basic. This whole talk of intelligent design that we're hearing about, very interesting, and I'm sure there are people sitting in this room that could give a lecture on that. I suspect there are. That's not my deal, but it's a lot closer to reality, the truth, than evolution. If the evolutionary approach is being put forth, that there is no creator, obviously, that would not be acceptable to the Catholic. Catholic Church does not look at the creation story as a scientific document. I can't imagine that any Catholic administrator would want this taught as a science class. And so that, I think, is all I have to offer about the creation story. I hope it gave some of you a little more insight into it. I learned a lot. And so thank you for your attention.